Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want to preach on the subject, the prophetic office of Christ. Actually, two verses I want to read. We'll come back and look at them later. The first is in John 1, it's verse 21. And they, that would be the representatives sent out from Jerusalem by the Pharisees, and they ask him, that is John the Baptist, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The next verse is found in John also, chapter 6. Verse 14, when the people, that is the people that followed Christ to hear him speak, saw the sign, the feeding of the 5,000, five loaves of bread, two fish, that he had done, Jesus the one that did this, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." There are three major offices in the Old Testament that are linked to the ministry of the Messiah. They are the offices of prophet, priest, and king. Many factors link these offices together in the messianic message of the Bible. One of those factors is that all the prophets, all the priests, all the kings were anointed when they were inaugurated into office. And that is, oil was placed on their head. You remember Psalm 133, Aaron, the oil ran down his beard and on the robes, his garments. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil. It was symbolic of the Holy Spirit who came upon them to assist them in performing their office. Well, one of the most interesting things in the Old Testament is that the word Messiah, which is a Hebrew word, identical to Christ, which is the Greek word, means the Anointed One. Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king, anointed by the Spirit to fulfill those three offices. These offices speak typologically then in the Old Testament of the coming ministry of the Messiah. Typologically means they foreshadow what he would do. We talk about type, antitype. A type would be that of the sacrifices that were fulfilled in Jesus. The temple, and he is the one come with the Spirit of God resting on him and in him. Events, institutions, people, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled in a typological way. They prefigure his person and his work. Since Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, the Christ of God, he was and is at one and the same time prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, a prophet wasn't a priest, and a priest wasn't a king, and a king wasn't a prophet, but Jesus was and is all three at one and the same time. Martin Lloyd Jones says it well. He is a priestly prophet and a royal prophet, a prophetic priest and a royal priest, a prophetic king and a priestly king. And he continues, "You see, in the Old Testament, you have prophets, you have priests, and you have kings. And these three functions were divided and set up in separate people. But the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he in himself alone combines these offices, three functions, in one person. And this is something which makes us realize the grandeur, greatness, and majesty of the person of our Lord Jesus. So to these three offices, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, was set apart. These three offices were aptly fulfilled in the redemptive work of Christ. For these three offices foreshadow the work He came to do. Now, what is it that prophets, priests, and kings did in those Old Testament days? And how does Christ fulfill these three offices? Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, gives some really good, simple, concise answers to those questions. In answering the question, what is it that prophets, priests, and kings did in Old Testament days, he says the prophet spoke God's word to the people. The priest offered sacrifices, prayers, and praises to God on behalf of the people, and the king ruled over the people as God's representative. And in answering the question, how does Christ fulfill these three offices, he says, as prophet, he reveals God to us and speaks God's words to us. As priest, he both offers a sacrifice to God on our behalf and is himself the sacrifice that is offered. And as king, he rules over the church and over the universe as well. You go through the two hymn books that are sitting before you in the pew rack, you'll find a number of them that speak of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. Here's one of those hymns, John Mason. Christ is my prophet, priest, and king. My prophet full of light, my great high priest before the throne, my king of heavenly might. For three Sunday mornings, we're going to see how the prophetic, priestly, and kingly ministry of Christ is unfolded in the Scriptures. I think it's good for us, especially this time of year, when we have our minds on His coming into the world as Savior, to realize that He came as prophet, priest, and king. We began today with the prophetic office. Jesus the Christ is a prophet. And not only is He a prophet, He is the prophet. John 1:21, some religious leaders came out to ask John the Baptist if he was the prophet. The Apostle John is here introducing to us this man we call John the Baptist. He's mentioned in verse 6, but then in verse 19 more is said about him. And we learn in these verses that he is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. That is, he came before Christ in order to prepare his way. John's introduction on the stage of history was a welcome surprise by the Jews. We speak sometimes of 400 silent years. That's those years between the closing of the Old Testament Scriptures and the opening up of the New Testament Scriptures. No prophet came. No word from God in those days. And now, appearing on the scene, is this eccentric man in the wilderness, John, who is preaching, who is baptizing. And the Pharisees in Jerusalem wanted to know who he was. And so they sent out representatives to hear him. They were puzzled. They needed to know his true identity. So verse 19, they ask him, "Who are you?" And John immediately replied, "I am not the Christ." Well, why did he give that answer? They didn't ask him if he was the Christ. They just asked him who he was. But they were probably thinking that he was the Messiah. So John immediately dispelled that notion. He plainly, forthrightly declared that he was not the Christ. Well, they followed up with three more questions for John, each one concerning his identity. And the first question was, are you Elijah? Now, why ask that question? Because the last prophetic book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and almost the last verse in that book, we have a promise from God. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So are you Elijah? And John answered, I am not. In the literal sense, John wasn't Elijah. However, in the typological sense, he was. He didn't fully realize it at that time, or it was more than he wanted to speak about himself. But Jesus later said that John fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi 4, verse 5. Mark 9, verse 13, Jesus said, but I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it was written of him. So the ministry of John the Baptist constituted the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi 4, verse 5. And apparently, Jesus had a greater view of John's importance than John did himself. The second question is this one I'm framing this morning about the prophet. Are you the prophet? And John's answer to this question was also negative. Verse 21 says, he answered, no. Now, we're going to come back to that question, for that's the basis of my message today. But let's look at the third question. Verse 22, well, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, who are you? And then they said, we need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John answered by telling them who he was. Verse 23, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John was a fulfillment of prophecy himself, the prophecy of Isaiah. He was out preparing the way for the Messiah to come. I've heard it said before, John was God's bulldozer. And that's good language. He was sent to make straight the way of the Lord, to clear the path for the Lord to come. But let's go back to that second question that the priests and Levites asked. Are you the prophet? What did they mean when they said, the prophet? Well, clearly they were expecting a particular prophet, a unique, specific prophet that would arise in Israel, one distinct from Elijah. And they were wondering if perhaps John was this prophet. Well, Scripture gives us an answer to the identity of the prophet. We saw from John chapter 6, after Jesus fed the 5,000 from just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, that the people, when they saw this sign, that it conveyed to them that this indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. But they're looking for a prophet, and saying that Jesus was the prophet who has come into the world is based upon a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. We're going to look at that passage. And then there are two New Testament preachers, one an apostle, the other a preacher, who testify that that Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And those two people are Peter, Acts chapter 3, and Stephen, Acts chapter 7. So we're going to examine the prophecy and its fulfillment concerning this prophetic office of the Christ. And then we're going to look at the significance and the application of this prophetic office of Christ. We look first at the prophecy and fulfillment of Christ's prophetic office. And that Old Testament passage that foretold the coming of the prophet is one that I read to you early in the service. It's Deuteronomy chapter 18. So let's examine these verses of Scripture. Two verses in particular are verse 18, or verse 15, and then verse 18. Verse 18, Moses is saying, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him that you will listen." And then verse 18, we have the Lord himself speaking, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Well, who is this prophet? Who is this one who will be like Moses, that God himself will raise up, and who will speak to the people? Well, like many prophecies in the Old Testament, this prediction has a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. Throughout the history of Israel, God raised up prophets, many prophets, who proclaimed the word of the Lord to the people. God put his words in their mouth, and they testified. And God's people were responsible to listen to them. They didn't always listen, but they were required to and would be held to an account if they failed to listen to their words. In fact, in this context, verse 19, "And whoever will not listen to my words, that he, that is a prophet, shall speak in my name, I myself will require him of it." So the consequences of not hearing the Lord's spokesman are severe. Passage continues by distinguishing between false prophets and true prophets. I suspect we're going to get into some of that in our Sunday school series. But this passage has a measure of fulfillment in every prophet that arose. Because every time a prophet came, the people of God said, "I wonder if that's the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. In fact, that's what took place when John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. Is he Elijah, Malachi 3, or is he the prophet? Deuteronomy chapter 18. But while that prophecy has a measure of fulfillment in every true prophet that God raised up in the history of Israel, it clearly has particular reference to a special prophet. Moses didn't say that God would raise up many prophets that would be like him. Rather, he said that God would raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him that you shall listen. So a specific individual person is in view. Warren Wiersbe says this, "Moses was doing more than promise the whole line of prophets that the Lord would send. He was also announcing the coming of the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ." And so that's why the Jews came out to hear John the Baptist. They thought he might be the prophet. The Jews were looking for the Messiah to come. They were looking for this single, individual, unique, specific, particular prophet that would fulfill the prophecy of Moses. And when they heard John, they wondered, could this be the prophet? Could he be the Christ? It had been a long time since a prophet had risen in Israel. And so in their minds, John might not be just another prophet in a long succession of prophets, but he very well could be the prophet. But John denied that he was the prophet. Well, if it wasn't John, who was the prophet to come? Has he come yet? Are we still living in the day when we should be looking for that prophet to come? There are many people who are. Some say he came in the person of Muhammad. Some say he came in the person of Joseph Smith. But No, we believe the prophet has come, and that the prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And two of God's servants in the New Testament dispensation identified him as Jesus. Simon Peter and Stephen both declared that the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18 was fulfilled in Jesus. Turn with me first to Acts chapter 3. Simon Peter, one of the Lord's apostles, one of the 12, said this in a sermon that is recorded in Acts chapter 3. We usually think of a particular sermon that Peter preached. It's usually the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. But here he preached the sermon that's recorded in the third chapter. Remember, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and they found a lame beggar there, and he asked them for money. Peter didn't have any silver and gold to give him, but what he had to give was much greater. In the name of Jesus Christ, he commanded this man to rise and walk, and he did. The man was healed instantly. And he went about leaping and rejoicing. And that brought many people into the temple court. And Peter preached to them. And if you look at his sermon, you see that he called them to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he also told his audience, but what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. And in that same sermon, Peter quoted Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and 18, as being fulfilled in Christ. Note what he says in verse 22. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." Peter understood the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18 to be a prediction about Jesus. There's a second individual in the New Testament that believed this as well, and that is Stephen. Turn to Acts chapter 7. We have a very lengthy sermon here given by Stephen. You remember chapter 6, he was one of the men set aside to be a servant in the church. And he was arrested and charged by the council for blasphemy. That is, he was teaching that Jesus was the Messiah. And we read that with a face like an angel, he preached a message in his defense that unfolded the redemptive historical scheme of Scripture. He showed that all the redemptive elements in the Word of God came to a climax in the person of Jesus Christ. And one of the verses that Stephen used, and he used many, this really is an opening up of Old Testament Scripture all headed toward the person of Jesus Christ. One of the verses he used was Deuteronomy 8:15. He had a lot to say about Moses in his sermon, but here he shows that his word and his ministry all pointed to Jesus Christ. One of the things Moses said, and it's recorded in verse 37 of this chapter, is that God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Every prophet that appeared in the history of Israel was in some sense a type of the prophet to come, but the prophet to come was the Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah. He is the end of salvation history, the redemptive, progressive history of the Old Testament pointed to Christ and was fulfilled, culminated in Him. Peter saw that. Stephen saw that. The question is, do we see that? We must needs see it. For our salvation depends on it. Jesus is the Christ of God. He is the fulfillment of all those messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. He is the prophet that would be like Moses who was to come. In Luke chapter 24, we read about Jesus on the road to Emmaus speaking words to some men. And he says in verse 27 and verse 44 of that chapter that all the prophets wrote of him. Jesus expounded the scriptures to him. And he said, they wrote the things concerning me. So Jesus is the prophet that was to come, the prophet that would be like unto Moses. But Jesus outshined Moses. One of the unique things about the prophetic ministry of Moses is this. God spoke to him. Numbers 12, verse 8 records this. God spoke to him mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. And Jesus was like that in his relationship with the Father. But he had a much more intimate connection with God than that. Where we read in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And we read in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. So we conclude that the prophecy of the particular prophet to come was finally and perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is indeed the prophet foretold, predicted by Moses. No other prophet throughout the Old Testament fulfilled that scripture. Samuel was a prophet, but he wasn't the prophet. Elijah was a prophet. He wasn't the prophet. Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, none of them fulfilled that prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 18. But Jesus did. He surpassed Moses. He is the perfect embodiment of that prophecy. And he is to us everything good and far beyond that Moses ever could have been to the people of God. Well, having examined the prophecy and its fulfillment in the prophetic office of Christ, let's look next at the significance and the application of Christ's prophetic office. We clearly see when we open up the New Testament, don't we, that Jesus came forth preaching and teaching. That is, he had a message to proclaim. John the Baptist, of course, paved the way for him. And the people recognized John was a prophet, but they saw Jesus was a prophet as well. Luke chapter 7, verse 16, when Jesus raised the widow's son at Nain, the people said, a great prophet has arisen among us. John 4, 19, when Jesus recounted to the woman at the well her past life. You remember what she said? Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Well, he was much more than a prophet because she later exclaimed that he was the Savior of the world. John 9, verse 17, the man born blind that Jesus healed said, he is a prophet. And Jesus was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. He is, as we have seen, the prophet, the one the people were expecting, the one Israelites were looking for. And Jesus is that prophet par excellence. They were looking for. Well, that unique prophet that would be like Moses. And when Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, they recognized him as that prophet by the things that he said and the things that he did. Already we saw John 6. The miracle attested to who he was. And when he fed the 5,000, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world." And Jesus didn't do like John the Baptist, did he? John said, "Oh no, I'm not the prophet." Jesus didn't refute it because he was the prophet. He was rightly recognized as the prophet. And as a prophet, he spoke the word of God to the people. And not only did he speak God's word to the people, and this is one of the unique things about him, he is the word of God himself who reveals the Father to us. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only God, the only begotten, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. That's what John 1:18 says. The book of Hebrews does not refer to Jesus as a prophet with that word. You recall how that book opens up? Long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Jesus is the prophet, and we are to listen to Him. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. Very fascinating passage of Scripture here. When Jesus began His Galilean ministry, He went up to Nazareth, where He had been brought up as a boy. And on the particular occasion that is mentioned here in Luke 4, Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the scroll of Isaiah was given to him, and he opened it to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. And Luke records this in verses 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me." Again, remember prophet, priest, and king anointed to their offices, symbolic of the Spirit. And here Isaiah is speaking about the Spirit of the Lord resting on somebody, anointing him. And Jesus says, he's just reading at this time, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then what did He do? He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, of vital importance here is the fact that Jesus is the one of whom this prophecy was made. That's what Jesus was saying. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. Now, His anointing wasn't done literally with oil being placed on His head, with the Spirit of the Lord coming to rest upon Him. And that happened at His baptism, when the Spirit of God descended upon Him. And He was anointed to do certain things. And first on the list is what? He was anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. Proclaim, that's preach, that's speak, that's prophetic ministry. And His message is good news, the gospel. And it's to the poor. That means spiritually impoverished. It's to all people. And thus Jesus, with the unction of the Holy Spirit, came to perform the duties of prophet, to fulfill the responsibilities of prophet. He is the perfect revealer of the counsel and the will of God. He is the one that proclaimed the gospel, that sinners might be set free from bondage and might be forgiven of their sins. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 contain what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to read to you the verses here that are spoken after he gave that sermon. Verse 28, 29 of Matthew 7. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Jesus was in a distinct category from all teachers, all preachers, all prophets. If you go back and examine the Sermon on the Mount, we hear repeatedly Jesus saying words like this, not always identical, but they're words like this. You have heard that it was said to those in old time. And then he would give what it was they'd heard. And then follow these words. But I say unto you. You see, he's not just a mere messenger of revelation from God. Jesus spoke on his own authority as the eternal Word of God who perfectly revealed the Father to us. You see, Jesus could do more than simply say, thus saith the Lord. He could say, but I say unto you. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Last chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. This is after his resurrection, after his ascension. Jesus instructs his disciples. He gives them what we call the Great Commission, which begins with that command to make disciples out of all the nations. And then to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the third part, verse 28, and you teach them to observe all that I commanded you. You cannot imagine an ordinary prophet saying it like that, could you? He would call the people to observe all that the Lord commanded them to do. But Jesus puts himself in the place of that authoritative prophet. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Everything Jesus taught, we must hear. Every word that came from the mouth of the apostles, that's written in Scripture, we believe to be His Word. Jesus prayed, John 17, verse 20, I do not ask for these only, that is, He was praying for His immediate disciples, but also for those who will believe in Me through their Word. All that Jesus taught and all that He taught which comes through the apostles applies to us. We must therefore hear Him and do what He says. The Old English had a word that's found many times in the King James Version of the Bible. It's very helpful. It's the word hearken. In fact, it's used in that prophecy about the coming of the prophet, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Unto him ye shall hearken. You know what hearken means? It means to listen with the intent to obey. And that's how we are to listen. It's not just that God's word needs to go through these ears. It's that it needs to be lodged in our hearts. It's not just that we hear them and know what He says, but that we take serious what He says. and that we do His word. Jesus once said, Luke 11, verse 28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And dear friends, that's where the rubber meets the road. A lot of people talk about Jesus this time of year. They like to talk about Christ in a manger. But what about Christ, who is a prophet, whose word comes to us with authority? His word that we are to hear and humble ourselves before, that we are to listen to, that we are to obey, that we are to hear, that we are to keep. The application of Christ being the prophet comes in hearing what He says and responding to it with faith. And isn't He the one that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart." Yes, He's the one that says that. He calls us to Himself. He's the one that even says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And yet, so few people will listen to the word of the prophet who came. The word that is true. The word that is authoritative. We must listen to His word. Now, the Lord Jesus taught us by life and example. He is a model. We're to imitate Him. But it's more than that, isn't it? He also said, and this is recorded in John 6:63, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." God has spoken to us in these last days by His Son. And there's no reason for any of us to remain in ignorance, because a prophet has come. In fact, the prophet has come, and He has spoken to us. His words are recorded in the Bible, and they are spirit and life. And my prayer is that God will help us to hear Him, to obey Him, for He is the prophet that all the Old Testament prophets prefigured in the things they said, who prefigured Him in their actions. He spoke the truth. He Himself is the truth. And we know that because the very miracles that He did confirmed that His word was true. What Jesus spoke came to pass. Let me give you an example of that. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Three chapters in Mark, back to back, chapters 8, 9, and 10, have a prediction, a prophecy, that was spoken by Jesus Christ. They're almost the same verses in each chapter. Mark 8, verse 31, "And He began to teach them that the Son of Man," that is Himself, "must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Chapter 9, and the same verse in this chapter, verse 31. "He was teaching His disciples, saying to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And when He is killed, after 3 days, He will rise.'" And then chapter 10, two verses here, verses 33 and 34. "Sir, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over," or "see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock Him and spit on Him and flog Him and kill Him, and after 3 days, He will rise." If that wasn't true, don't believe Jesus. He's not a true prophet. If it is true, and it did come to pass, just as He said, betrayed, delivered into the hands of men, scourged, crucified, and risen from the grave. And that's just one of many examples that authenticates Jesus as the true prophet. God truly has spoken to us by His Son. Let us listen to Him. If we ignore his word, we do so at our own peril. Dear friends, it is a huge mistake to ignore Jesus Christ, for he is the prophet that came and fulfilled God's word. Thank you, gracious Lord, for your word. Thank you for how we see in it the fulfillment of this great prophecy about a special prophet to come. And that prophet wasn't John, wasn't Peter, wasn't Paul, it was Jesus. And oh, may we look to him as our priest, as our king, yes, but also as the great prophet. We pray these things in his name. Amen.